Turn with me this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 11. Let's hear the word of God. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. And drop to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, Heavenly Father, we ask the blessing on the reading of the word, the opportunity that we have to open these scriptures. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate them to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. Jesus at this point has already made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the scripture's telling us that it was later in the day he departed, and he's taking up a temporary residence in Bethany. And so he and the disciples went there. And in the morning, they started back to Jerusalem to go to the temple where Christ would minister. And apparently, they didn't take any time for breakfast. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus was hungry. He was hungry, which is just further evidence of his humanity, the human nature that he had. He got hungry. He got tired. He got, he had to go use the bathroom somewhere. He was human in this flesh that he inhabited here. The disciples were about to receive an object lesson. Jesus is hungry. Down the road a ways, he sees a fig tree. And this tree is in full foliage. I mean, it was the leaves were out. It looked good. Granted, it was early in the year for that to happen, but it looked right. And so he went down and he looked at the tree and he started to go through the branches and the leaves a little bit to see if there was some fruit there, that something that he might be able to take to satisfy his hunger. And he didn't find any. Now, what appears to us may be something of a bit of a difficulty. The scripture tells us it was not the season for figs. Yet Jesus went to the tree, a tree that was loaded with leaves, looking, expecting to find something to eat. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus expect to find fruit on that tree? Fig trees in that region produce two harvests a year. They had an early harvest, which came about in May or June, and then they could reap from the tree again sometime between August and October. There were two productions of fruit. Early figs would sprout, they would grow from the previous year's sprouts. So wherever they had picked from last year, the new figs would spring out. And they wouldn't be fully ripe until May or June, but they were edible. The green fruit was called taksh, and it was edible and it was eaten. It would be harvested primarily by the poor, by the peasants. They would come and they would take it. They could make, they could eat it. They could eat it either raw or use it in some kind of cooking or whatever. There was a possibility for fruit on that tree. And if they would go to the tree and find no fruit at all at that point in time, that tree would be barren for the rest of the year. It would not produce any fruit at all. Jesus saw what appeared to be a healthy, thriving tree. But it was not what it appeared to be. And so he cursed the tree. And we have to understand that when Jesus curses this fig tree, it was not an acting out of a bad temper. He wasn't aggravated that because of that particular thing. Because that would have been, to quote Calvin, an act of childish and ridiculous revenge. That's something that we might do. You ever been out, gotten hungry, or maybe really you needed a cup of coffee or something like that? You saw the lights on at Dunkin' or McDonald's, and you pull in only to find out that somebody had left the lights on. The place isn't really open. Well, I have. Now, I didn't curse the business. But Jesus says, not out of anger. He just says to the tree, all right, there's no fruit here. You're done. You won't produce. You're not producing now. You will never produce again. It was an opportunity for his disciples to know the power of God and to give him glory. They could view this metaphorically as the temple that they were going to be finding their way to later on. It was a place that had much religious activity, but no sincerity or no truth. I mean, it looked good. Running the risk of appearing to cast aspersions, we can see many religious institutions that seem to be very, very busy, seem to have much activity. You can go into these assemblies and you'll find children's church and youth group, and you'll have old people's group, the seniors. You have the newly married class and the unmarried class, and they'll find plenty of activity. And we're going to take this group and we're going to go do this. And we're going to take that group and we're going to go do that. And usually it's expensive. Nobody ever does anything for free. And they have all these activities. And you'll hear people talk about, oh, our church is so great because we got this youth group activity, or we have this activity, or we have that activity. And nothing is happening in the church. As far as the soundness of the preaching of the gospel, of the receiving it by the people, and they in turn giving it back by the people to those that they come in contact with. Sure, there's a lot of activity. It looks like something, but it's all a facade. There's nothing really there. This tree looked like it should have something going for it. But there was nothing. And Jesus wasn't bashful. He wasn't shy when he cursed the tree. The disciples heard it plainly. And maybe even the disciples were taken aback a bit. Because, there shouldn't have been fruit there yet. But if it appeared to have fruit, then it should have had fruit. Jesus continues on into Jerusalem, where he gives the temple a good cleaning. Not with mops and brooms, of course, but with divine authority. He shakes the place up. And he removed from that temple those who would disrespect it and make it a common venue for merchandising, for just kicking around. And Jesus chased them out. And all of these things he did because it needed to be done. But it also set into motion, it set the wheels rolling for what was going to be his appointment with death in just a couple of days. It was a very full day for Jesus that day. And the night had come, and they ventured back to Bethany to spend the evening. In the morning, they were returning to Jerusalem, and the disciples observed the cursed tree. And they saw, when they looked at it, that this tree was dead from the roots up. That when Jesus cursed this tree, that tree was cursed. It was completely done. And Peter says, well, look at that. They remembered. Peter spoke. All the disciples noticed. Look at that. They were marveling. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. For over 3 years, they had witnessed miracles. They had been involved in miracles. And you know, all of the miracles of Christ to this point were miracles that we would say were of production. This was a miracle of judgment that he issued on this tree. And they couldn't believe it. Because just yesterday, that tree was full of leaves. It looked as though it was full of life. And today, not a leaf was on it. The branches were ready for kindling. It was dried up from the roots. They didn't ask Jesus a question. They didn't ask him anything. And yet the Lord just turns to them and looks. And it's though, I mean, he knows what they're thinking. And he says, have faith in God. They didn't have to ask a question. Now, he actually said, have the faith of God. Have an abiding faith. Have a faith that not only says, I believe in God, but I believe God. Have a faith that says, thy will be done, and is satisfied in that. To have the faith of God is to expect and be fully assured of obtaining from God whatever we need, said John Calvin. To expect and be fully assured of obtaining from God whatever we need. Have the faith of God. Jesus tells his disciples, have faith in God. He is bolstering their faith. And he wants to give them a great confidence in who it is they are serving. Have faith in God. He continues in verse 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He tells them because of the location where they were right then. If you speak to Mount Olivet and tell it to be thrown into the Sea of Galilee, if you believe that, and do not doubt, it'll be done. Well, that's a 4,000-foot drop. But I don't think that Jesus spoke to them literally. Because what sense does it make to have a mountain thrown into a sea? However, it is literal in this sense. There are difficult mountains in our lives that we'd like to remove, that we'd like to see thrown down. And no task in harmony with God's will is impossible to be performed by the one who believes, by those who believe and do not doubt, as Dr. Hendrickson. No task in harmony with God's will, you see, there's a key there, is impossible to be performed by those who believe and do not doubt. Context in this passage is so important because Jesus does not say, just believe and you can have whatever you want. He didn't say that. You remember the older version of Miracle on 34th Street? Remember that movie? Natalie Wood was a little girl. And you get towards the end of the movie, remember, she'd gone to Kris Kringle and she told Kris Kringle what she wanted for Christmas was this really nice house for her family and everything. And towards the end of the movie, they're driving around in a car and she's sitting in the backseat. Her mother had already convinced her there was no such animal as Santa Claus and that kind of thing. So now she's later on, and now she's going, I believe, it's silly, but I believe. And then, boom, all of a sudden, the house is there. Well, that's Hollywood. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus didn't say, just because you want it, you get it, as long as you believe and don't doubt. He didn't say that. There is some linkage that's coming up. He is not teaching to the people, name it and claim it. He is not teaching them magic words. You say these words and all of a sudden your carnality is satisfied. He's not doing those things. What things you desire, he says in verse 24, here's the link, when you pray. Prayer is an essential element. Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done. So it's not just a matter of wanting something and believing it can happen. It has to be according to God's will. Thy will be done. We go to him in prayer with what it is that we desire. We pray about it. We don't just say, boy, I really want. I really want to win a lottery. Huh. Ain't happening. I really want this. I really want that. But we go to him in prayer and according to his will. If our desires are according to his will, the promise is you will receive it. If you believe and do not doubt, when you go to him in prayer, you will receive it. That's his words, that's not mine. That is the thing in a nutshell. Our prayers and our desires must be in accord with God's revealed will. Paul in Ephesians 3 tells us that we can take our petitions to God with boldness and with confidence through faith in Christ. What Paul does not tell us is that we can go to God with demands like a spoiled child. That's certainly not God's will that we approach him that way. We go to God according to his will. Believing when and not doubting. That is sometimes probably the most difficult part. Oh yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I mostly believe it. Maybe I'm just making it up. Somebody said in a song one time, our prayers just wishes in disguise. We're human. And we will sometimes falter in that area. We say, God, I really want this. I believe it's according to your will. I'm not so sure. Remember Peter jumping out of the boat in the middle of the sea? It wasn't until he got actually took a few steps on the water that he says, I don't think I can do this. Had a little doubt. I mean, he was there. He was on the water. He was strolling. He said, I can't do this. All of a sudden took a bath. Thy will be done. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And when we approach him, when we go to him in prayer, when we go to him, enter that throne room. We may enter boldly, and we may enter with confidence, but we best enter with some humility. Approach him humbly. He continues on, Jesus does. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In the context of this one teaching, Jesus is telling us to believe God, to not doubt God, to come to God according to his will, but you better come humbly and not be holding a grudge against somebody else. You better not be saying, I'm okay, you know what, these people, they offend me, they do whatever they want to do, I'm just going to let them do what they do, whatever. He says, forgive them. Forgive them. Because when we do that, we have to humble ourselves. We can't actively forgive someone, genuinely forgive someone, and be proud about it. We must be humble. We come to God in faith, believing he will give us the thing that we desire. We've got to be ready to forgive him. In fact, Jesus concludes this discourse. This is a reminder of the fifth petition. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Do you want to be forgiven? Then you've got to be willing to forgive. You remember the story that Jesus told about the guy who owed the debt? And he owed a huge debt to a master or whatever. And the guy was getting ready to toss him in the jail. And he begged and he pleaded. And he said, oh, please don't do this. Please, you know, I'll do whatever I can, but please don't do this. And the master had compassion upon him. Forgave him of the debt. Let him go. And the guy was really tickled until he come across another fella who owed him a quarter. And he went over to the guy and he said, hey, remember that quarter I gave you? You bought that Coke? Well, I want it back. You give me that money now. The guy says, look, I don't have 25 cents. It's a tough week this week. I don't have it. And the guy took him by the throat and dragged him to the prison, tossed him into the prison and said, well, then you're staying there until I get my money back. A guy who had been forgiven great, huge, massive debt could not forgive someone else. And when the fellow's master heard of that, he said, you wretch. After what I've done for you, you couldn't forgive. And he said, you know what? You're going into Clink and you're going to stay there until every penny's paid. Which meant that fellow was never getting out. Jesus says, have faith in God, which includes being humble enough to forgive one another. May God bless us with right desires, with great passions for his work, and the faith that he will fulfill them. The ability to come to him humbly and pray as we ought. It's so important. So important to be able to come to him. And the blessing, again, I'm rambling, but the blessing that he tells us in Romans that, you know what? Sometimes we go to him, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We have a sense within us. We have a feeling, if you would. There's things that we want to speak to God. There are situations in our lives that say, God, I don't know what to say. And yet he tells us in Romans, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. The Holy Spirit prays. The Holy Spirit knows us, knows our hearts, is able to translate what it is that's going on with us. Let God enable us to pray as we ought, but have confidence that our prayers are heard. And that all things that we ask for, that we pray for, that we hope for, are for his glory. Have faith in God. Let's pray.